And Pastor Robin, you're not the only one that song gets to. I'll just say that. Okay, that's a beautiful Christmas hymn. Amen? Oh, the love of God. So we look a little closer at the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Bob Udley writes, betrothal was a legally binding Jewish custom, usually lasting about a year before marriage. The parties lived separately but were considered contractually married. Only death or divorce could break the betrothal arrangement. So what does the world think about this today? They say it's a myth or a fairy tale. After all, we all know that it takes a man and a woman to make a baby, right? The real myth or misunderstanding is to think that God, who created absolutely everything out of nothing with a word, can't impregnate a woman with just a word or a thought. We're talking Almighty God, right? And all things are possible for Him. Amen? Matthew Henry writes, the mystery of Christ's incarnation is to be adored, not pried into. If we know not the way of the Spirit in the formation of common persons, nor how the bones are formed in the womb of any one that is with child, how much less do we know how the blessed Jesus was formed in the womb of the Blessed Virgin? When David admires how he himself was made in secret and curiously created, perhaps he speaks in the spirit of Christ's incarnation. We can see conceived by the Holy Spirit is what we say in the ancient creeds, right? God did not have sex with Mary, as some of the cults say, okay? Would God have to? He could just think it, right? And that's the misunderstanding of our culture, and that's because they're blind, okay? They don't understand. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. C. Philip Green writes, imagine Joseph's disappointment when he heard those words. According to the custom of the day, the engagement period was a time to prove the purity of the bride-to-be. They were engaged for a year, and if during that year the woman showed no signs of pregnancy, then everyone would know that she was a worthy bride, pure and chaste for her husband. But if her belly began to swell, everybody would look at her as a whore, an object of ridicule and shame. Her fiancé would call off the wedding, and sometimes the community would stone her. Nobody ever expected it to happen. They just waited a year to get married because it was customary. Well, imagine Joseph's shock when he found out that Mary was pregnant. We know that it was by the Holy Spirit. But Joseph didn't know that yet. Imagine how disappointed he was. Have you ever been disappointed like Joseph's been disappointed? Maybe not in the exact same way, but we've all felt disappointment, right? Christmas can be a disappointment to many of us. It's a time of great depression for a lot of people. But during times of disappointment, that's when we have to hang on to Jesus for all we're worth. Just hang on to Him for all we're worth. And then we'll get through our disappointment, and usually there's a blessing that follows, right? There's usually a blessing that follows. But after he had considered this, so he thought it over. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And I got an old icon here, and you can see, you really can't see, there's Joseph, it's kind of dark, but the angel's talking to him in a dream and telling him about Mary and the conception by the Holy Spirit, okay? Does God still speak to people in dreams and visions? Absolutely, okay? C. Philip Green says, your disappointments can be turned into dreams come true. Your hurts can become hallelujahs. Your pains can become praise. How? What was bad news has now become the best news anybody could hear. Joseph's Mary was pregnant, not with another man's baby, but with the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Joseph's worst fear has now become the fulfillment of his greatest hope. His Mary was bearing the Messiah. It was a dream come true. But not only for him, it was a dream come true for the entire world. Amen? There's a Christmas story that I'm sure most of you have heard by Gladys Talbot. It's about three trees, and they're all growing on this hill. And the first tree is sitting there and saying, when I'm harvested, I want to be a treasure chest and filled with all kinds of jewels and gold and riches. Well, sure enough, they came and they cut down that tree. And they kind of cut it into pieces crudely. And they made an animal feeding trough out of it. And then they put it in a cave. And this tree was saying, this is not what I expected. I'm in the back of this cave and I'm feeding cows. This is not a treasure chest. Well, then what happened is a couple came in and a baby was born and the baby was put into this feeding trough. And it was Jesus, the Son of God. Then the tree said, this is better than anything I could have thought. I'm part of a miracle. Well, then they came for the second tree. And the second tree wanted to be a sailing ship so it could see the world and explore different areas. Instead, he was harvested and they made a crude fishing boat out of him. He was placed in Galilee and purchased by a man named Peter. And just a rotten fishing boat. And he's saying, this is not what I had planned. Then one day, a crowd gathered to listen to a preacher. And the preacher, who was the Son of God, had to stand in the boat to preach. And the tree realized this. And he said, in my dreams, I never thought that I would be used for this. What a blessing. Finally, there was one tree left, and this tree just wanted to stay there and point to the skies and give praise to God. They came and cut down the tree. And they harvested the wood, and they made a crude wooden cross. And he knew what it was for. And he said, they're going to hang a man on this to die. He said, this is terrible. This is the worst thing that could happen. Well, on Good Friday, he was used. And the Son of God was nailed to the cross. And he died. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing. And when he finally died, he said, it is finished. And the tree said, what a miracle. I'm part of a miracle for the whole world that the Son of God should die on me. And the tree's greatest disappointment became his greatest blessing. Now, Joseph had peace with God and Mary after this encounter, but how do you think his neighbors reacted? You think they all said, rah, rah, yeah, Son of God, right? Probably it was mixed. I'm sure Joseph and Mary encountered derision to some extent. It was a small village. But they were in God's will and had peace knowing God was in control. It didn't matter what people said because they knew God was in control, right? Friends, whatever we're going through right now, remember God is in control. He's got it. He has a plan for us, a perfect plan. God goes before us and he's behind us. But we may have disappointment now, but there's going to be glory around the corner. Amen. She will give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, the name Jesus in Hebrew is Joshua. And it means Yahweh saves, Yahweh brings salvation, or Yahweh is Savior. But what is Jesus saving us from? Our sins. He's saving us from our sins. Sin in Scripture means to miss the mark. So what is the mark? The mark is God's law, which points out God's intention for how we should live our lives. And is that because he wants to be a mean, cruel God? No, it's because he wants us to have the best possible life. And if we live according to God's law, we will have the best possible life. It defines how our Creator wants us to live. Philip Green says, so Jesus came to save her and us from our sins. Not just from the penalty of our sins, which is hell, but also from the power of sin in our lives. You see, worse than the tyranny of any dictator or any foreign power is the tyranny of sin. Sin destroys nations. Sin destroys families. Sin destroys relationships. Sin destroys all of us from within, and we need deliverance from that more than anything else. That's why Jesus came. He came to die on a cross for our sins, then to conquer death itself and rise from the grave. All we need to do is trust him. Just trust him. But what does our culture say? Well, we're all basically good. And sin is something just created by the Christian church or by religion in order to give us false guilt, because we're all basically good. But if we look at all the evil in the world, and there's a lot of evil, right? I'd call that sin, right? And the problem is we have 7 billion people living for themselves and what they can get. 7 billion. And by the way, if we're living to get all we can get just for us, that is sin. So sin is God's greatest problem. We need to confess that we're sinners and we don't have it all together. And that's okay, right? Because we don't have it all together. Just speak the truth and say, yes, I'm a sinner. But what's the result of 7 billion people living for themselves? It's what we got today, right? Everything we say, all the evil we say today. Matthew Henry said, Christ came to save his people not in their sins, but from their sins. To purchase for them not a liberty to sin, but a liberty from sins. To redeem them from all iniquity. And so to redeem them from among men to himself, who is separate from sinners. So that those who leave their sins can give up themselves to Christ as his people, are interested in the Savior and the great salvation which he has wrought out. Friends, when we confess we're sinners and we don't have it made, then we can accept Christ and receive forgiveness. That is why he came. He was named Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. That's you and me, right? Amen? And I got a great picture. Pastor, you're going to have to use that in CR sometime, okay? The guy's got a needle down there. But it doesn't matter. We're all like that guy, right? It may not be drugs, but we're all sinners. And we need Jesus, amen? And some of us may feel like this tonight. Maybe not because of drugs, but he's there. He's there, and we're going to talk about that. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Who was Jesus' mother? Who was Jesus' father? Very good. You guys have been to my basics course, okay? Joseph was not the father, obviously, okay? God puts on flesh in the person of Jesus to save us from our sins and restore us back into a relationship with God. And this is what Christmas is about, right? Do I hear a hallelujah? Hallelujah. Amen. Through Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection, and ascension, our relationship with God is restored, and we are now children of God. Do I hear a hallelujah? And Merry Christmas. That's what Christmas is about, right? It's not about Santa Claus. It's not about Rudolph. I love them, okay? I love Frosty. It's about being restored back into a relationship with God through the life and death and blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? Spurgeon said, by the Holy Spirit, divine seed which lives and abides forever is sown in our souls, and from day to day we are strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Nor is this all, for as the masterpieces of grace, the Lord by his Spirit even dwells in his people. God is not incarnate as in Christ Jesus, but only second in wonder to the incarnation is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in believers. Think about that. It's amazing that God became flesh. But isn't it amazing that God wants to live in us? And that he lives in us? Oh, the love of God, right? Now it is God with us indeed, for God dwells in us. Know you not, says the apostle, that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit. As is written, I will dwell in them and I will walk in them. Oh, the heights and depths that are comprehended in those words. Few words. God with us. Emmanuel. Amen? And I don't have my pointer. I'm not going to run over and get it because my mic's going to explode. But this is a young man. This is Pastor Robert, okay? But the Spirit of Christ lives. This is what Christmas is about, right? He came to live in our hearts. And for those who took basics, does when Christ comes and lives in us, is it just Christ? No. It's the Holy Spirit and the Father, too, because the communion of God can't be broken. So we have Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit living inside of us. How cool is that? Do I hear a hallelujah? And that's why Pastor Robert's smiling, okay? You're not quite that young, Pastor. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Now Joseph, who accepted God's will, is overjoyed. Oh, you got this. Isn't that a great picture? And if you see this movie, it's called The Nativity. The guy who plays Joseph does a phenomenal job, okay? But he's overjoyed. The questioning of Mary's conception of Jesus is forgotten. The embarrassment and hurt people caused is forgotten. The couple's pain and disappointment replaced with joy as they hear from shepherds sent to them by angels to worship Jesus the Messiah. Imagine when those shepherds showed up and said, "We're here to worship the newborn king." What an affirmation, right? And then later, the three kings come from the east with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Talk about an affirmation, right? Do you think they cared what the people in the village thought then? No. Their disappointment was completely changed, right? By the way, look for signs. Look for green lights in your life, okay? Because they're right there. They're right there if we have eyes to see. But doesn't this happen to us after a time of trial and disappointment? Suddenly things turn around and God blesses us. And then we can see and understand His plan. And sometimes it takes years, right? Sometimes it takes years. Thomas Nast was a great artist. He's an American painter. And he's the one who created this image of Santa Claus for us, where we have a fat Santa Claus that goes ho, ho, ho. He's the one who created, that's the first painting he did of Santa, okay? So he created that image, but go to the next one. But he was also a very serious artist, okay? And you can see by this painting here. And one day he was before an audience and he was painting, and he asked for a 2x6 palette, okay? Is that correct? Okay. And he had him put it horizontal. And he started painting. And he painted a beautiful field, and there was a farmhouse, and there were trees. And then he painted the skies, and there were fluffy clouds, and the sun shining down, and it was glorious. And he stood back to look at it, and everybody applauded. Because he did this right in front of their eyes, okay? Then what he did is he said to himself, "I'm not done." And he got some blues and some dark colors, and he started painting. And he was ruining this picture. And they looked at it, and when he was done, it looked like something that a three-year-old had done, okay? And he stood back, and there was no applause. So he told two of the servants there to put it in a gold frame and to put it vertically. And when he put it vertically, it was a beautiful waterfall with sun shining on it, but there was dark trees, beautiful trees, and growth on the sides of this waterfall. And the people were amazed. And then they stood up and applauded, all right? So this guy had some talent, right? Philippa Green writes, "Our lives are like that painting. There are times when the sky is bright and heaven pours its blessing on everything we do. Then God allows the dark colors to come, the pain, the hurts, the failures, the disappointments, and they seem to obliterate everything else. There is no reason for applause. There is no reason for praise, or so it seems. But God is not finished with us yet, because He uses both the bright colors and the dark colors to create a masterpiece in us. And when He's done, the entire universe will gasp in wonder at the skill of our Creator." Amen? So friends, no matter where we're at this Christmas, whether it's darkness and disappointment or light and thankfulness, tonight, Christ is born. Hallelujah. Our sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. We are restored to God, our Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. And God, Emmanuel, is with us and in us. Tonight, we are loved and we are victors. Hallelujah. The song we sang tonight to open up is "Come All Ye Faithful." And this song says it all, because it says, "Come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant." That's us tonight. We are joyful and we are triumphant. Amen. God is with us. Amen. Merry Christmas.